Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. What if living alone isn't the badge of independence we've been taught to believe it is? My guest today has spent most of her adult life living in shared housing by choice, not because she couldn't live alone, but because she discovered something many of us quietly crave: connection, ease, and the simple comfort of knowing someone else is in the house. In this conversation, Anna Marie talks about loneliness, the kind we don't like to admit, and why shared housing can be a practical, thoughtful, and deeply human response to it. We talk about myths, missteps, power dynamics, and how a housemate can slowly become something she calls a homemate. If you've ever walked through your front door and wondered when you'd talk to another human being next, this one may stay with you. Listen now to my conversation with Anna Marie Pluhar. Imagine someone telling you that the secret to a happier, healthier, more affordable next chapter isn't a new supplement, it's not a new hobby or a new financial plan, it's a housemate. Now, some of you are leaning in, but I know some of you gasped. Stay with me. Do you know that 27% of all households in the United States are single occupancy? In some European countries, it's over 40%. In Canada, it's almost 30% generally. But as of the 2021 census, about 20% of 65 to 74-year-olds were living alone, and it's 42% of all people aged 85 and older who are still in their private households. Now, my guest today is here to talk about that something that many of us boomer women quietly wonder about, and some instantly dismiss: living with a housemate on purpose. Anna Marie has lived with housemates for most of her adult life and teaches people how to do it safely and joyfully. And she runs a nonprofit dedicated to showing folks that shared housing isn't scary, it's smart, and sometimes it's downright life-changing. For those of us in the Create Your Own Next Chapter season, where privacy is nice, but good company is nicer, this conversation might just open a door, literally and figuratively. So if you've ever thought, well, maybe when I'm older, or never, I love my solitude, hang tight. You might discover that the right housemate doesn't take away your independence, they expand your life in ways you didn't see coming. Anna Marie Pluhar, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm excited. I've already told you that. You're an advocate, you're preaching to the choir. How did your journey begin?
So, well, where should I start? The place I usually start is that I've spent most of my adult life living in shared housing. And at one point in my life, I had bought a house on purpose to have housemates. It was a four-bedroom house in Silver Spring, Maryland, just on the outside of Washington, D.C. And while I was living in this house, a friend of mine was complaining about her finances over the phone. We were having a phone conversation. And I said, "Well, you have an asset, use it." And she said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Rent a room in your house." And she did something like, "I'm not a great actress. I don't know how to do that." And I did something like, "Well, I do." And she went, "Oh, you do? Oh, that's right." Because I was living with housemates. She said, "Would you coach me?" And that sparked the idea of, I was like, I guess I could do that. And so, the next day, as it happens, I was on a bus going from Washington, D.C. to New York City, and I pulled out my laptop and I spent 2 hours writing the outline for the book that became Sharing Housing, a guidebook for finding and keeping good housemates. And I mean, it was a brain dump. I was just poof, right? And what the book is, it's the process that I developed for myself to screen a person that I found was efficient, effective, and fast. So that's, it's not rocket science, but nobody's written this up before me. So the book exists. It honestly, it took quite a long time. I've never sat down to figure out how many years, but I sold that house. I moved to southern Vermont with my then partner. And one morning, I was walking from my bed to the bathroom, and this little thought came through my head that said, "Are you ever going to do that project?" And I was like, "Oh." And I started chewing on it. And I realized that if I didn't do it, it was going to be a deathbed regret. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this project. And then we have a little bit of time. I'm more detailed in this story than I often give. That evening or late afternoon, I was at a women's networking group. And talking with some people afterwards, and one person said, I was in a little group of three people, me and two other people, and one person said, "Guess what? I'm writing a book." And so we all went, ooh, that's interesting. What's it about? Da 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 da. And then the other person said, "Guess what? I'm writing a book." And we all went, oh, that's interesting. And I suddenly went, oh, I'm writing a book. And one of those people who has been a great supporter for many years looked at the two of us and said, "Do you want to have an accountability group?" And so we had a weekly accountability group. We met online for an hour. Each one of us got 20 minutes of feedback and critique of what we had done in the week. And that's how I got my book written. It was wonderful. I will say that one of the other people did eventually write her book, but she left the group long before she actually got it written, and the other one never got her book written.
Oh,
But
it's
I did.
sorry.
And that book came out in 2011. And really, it's just the process of what does it take to get from, maybe I could live in shared housing. To actually living with somebody, what are the steps that you would take? So that was 2011. In 2017, I finally let myself consider, the way I say it is, I agreed with myself that it was really was a nonprofit organ mission, that it's social mission. And that I should develop a nonprofit organization to make this happen. So I did that. I turned to the people who were already in my life advising me and said, "Will you be on my board?" And that was 8 years ago already. And the board's been through some changes and some people coming back, but I've had that kind of support for the work ever since.
That's great. So the two things that come out there are, first of all, there's nothing like declaring a project to the world to sort of
Nothing
hold your
like
feet to the fire. But also, yeah, I have accountability partners, and I don't know what I'd do without them. So I'm
They're
all right
wonderful.
there. Now, I want to back out from this whole thing a little bit. Shared housing used to be the norm. Do you think we've lost anything like culturally as we've moved to total independence?
Absolutely.
Okay, and what can we regain?
Well, so the thing that's true. Is that post World War II, we all got into this idea that everybody should be a nuclear family in our little houses that, next to each other with 2 acres of lawn and so on and so forth, the buildup of suburbia and all of that. But it's left us a lot with a lot of loneliness because we've lost community. And we've developed this idea that because I'm an adult, and if I'm not in a relationship or with family, I should live alone. We don't question that at all. And what I'm wanting to have people do is to kind of go, ah, I don't have to do it this way. I could have a different kind of life. And I will say that in my own experience, I had my partner died 2 years ago, and we were together for 23 years, and I started all of this work while we were together in a house that doesn't really lend itself to housemates. But pretty soon after he died, I was okay, I'm going to walk my talk. And so it took a while because I did renovations to my house, but I now have a housemate and I love it. And there would be times when I was by myself. I lived in the house by myself for a year and a half. I would just say at night, I would say, something has to change. Something has to change. I can't keep doing this. Because at least where I live, and I think for a lot of people, I would have this question for myself. I'd come through the front door and I'd be, okay, when am I going to see somebody again? When am I going to talk to somebody again? And then I would have the amount of work that it takes to create a social engagement is just horrifying. We don't drop in on each other anymore. We don't even call randomly, right? We text, we email, and every single social occasion takes a back and forth, four, five, six texts or emails or phone messages, but then you don't leave the phone message because you know it takes longer to listen to the phone message than it does to write a text. So you hang up and you send a text after all. And it's just exhausting. So you end up not doing it. And you end up alone. And I think that we have a lot of people for whom loneliness is there and they don't like to admit it because we think that it's shameful. Somehow we are at fault if we're feeling lonely. But we're not. Loneliness is a natural human consequence of not being with people because we are wired to be connected. We are absolutely wired to be connected. I'll let you ask a question. I can keep
No, I'm
talking
not.
without
No,
any.
I'm not gonna ask a question. I'm gonna say that I have been known. I also live alone, for now, and I've been known to walk in the front door and say, "Hi, honey, I'm home," knowing there was no one there. But it's like, okay, whatever, we'll pretend. Now,
Right.
I'm gonna take a slight left turn here too, because oftentimes, I don't know. I have certainly known women who had serial relationships. And oftentimes people say, you've got to learn to live alone before you can live successfully with someone. Do you think that? Oh, it's obviously you've not heard
I'm
that.
thinking about that. I've not heard that, but I could see the sense of it in the sense that when I was living alone, I'd be like, oh, yeah, nobody else is going to clean up that mess. It's yours. Nobody else is going to take out the compost. You're going to do that. So that you have, if you live by yourself, you develop an idea about how much work it takes to put together a house. But in terms of like, you need to know yourself, I'm not sure that's true.
Okay, yeah, because that's where I had sort of pictured that of, like when when you have time by with yourself, then or even living in the house, as you've said, it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this, but and I'm cooking dinner, but it's nice having a conversation. I would really rather have a conversation while I'm cooking dinner, like those sorts of things. So getting to know yourself in that way, I think, is what I meant.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's
Okay.
true that I'm an extrovert, okay? And I'm aware that people, introverts, I lived with an introvert, so I know a lot about introversion. And the introverts are listening to me going, I'm just as happy to be by myself. But I'm going to say that two introverts can live together. And that there's lots of ways to spend time by yourself, even in shared housing.
I started by saying you're preaching to the choir. I am an introvert, and several of my friends are introverts. We have all talked, like my entire circle of women think it's a fabulous idea, to, especially there's something about women living together. Even as simple as there was a group of us that used to, well, one of the women had like a cottage elsewhere. And so we would spend a long weekend every fall, and it was fabulous. You know, like
Of course.
it worked so well having like these six women in a small cottage. And I realize a small cottage wouldn't work long term, but you know, like so many women are caregivers. So to give a little, take a little, you know, it just seemed it worked so well. And so many women I know are looking forward to that sort of thing. And now you've written the book, so that's great.
I've written the book. So many years ago, a woman named Deborah Tannen wrote a book called You Just Don't Understand. She's a linguist. And the nugget I get from her is this idea that the way the sexes are different is that men use language to check status. Are they up or down with each other? They're constantly in competition for status. Whereas women use language for collaboration, for sharing. So, and it's a really interesting book. I highly recommend it. It came out in the 80s, 1980s, that is. And so I think that what you're identifying about women, we are more naturally collaborative with each other. So I think shared housing feels more comfortable for us than men. The men I talk to say, in fact, one of them said to me, "You know, Anna Marie, it's a good idea, but I want a wife."
I want a wife too.
Right.
I've
And I
said that
said to him,
often.
and I honestly, I looked at him and I thought to myself, good luck. But, I mean, I think there's some reality around that. Now, I have a male housemate currently, and I have never been one to say, oh, I would only live with women, because men use homes differently. And so when my housemate moved in, he moved in at the beginning of April. This is now December, so you figure out. It was fascinating to me because he immediately took over all the guy tasks, taking out the trash, the garbage, doing the lawn, snow plow, all that stuff, fix up stuff, all of that. But I also have the great good fortune of having a housemate who likes to cook, is a good cook, and kind of likes having that as a job. So he's doing all the shopping and he cooks. That's
I won't
not the
say
usual, but it just happens to be the case. And when we were talking about moving in, I said, how do you want to do food? He said, oh, let's just do it together, And I'm like, well, how am I going to work that one out? And early on, he's such a good cook that I'm like, I'm a little embarrassed to cook for
obvious.
you. But he just does it. And my only complaint is he doesn't like vegetables, so I make myself salads.
There you go.
Okay,
There's always a
it's a
compromise.
compromise.
Well, and as you, where my thought went there is that fellow that said to you he wants a wife, and I think we're talking that old traditional, you know, Peyton Place kind of, not Peyton is no, what's that other, what was the movie in the 50s? It wasn't Peyton Place. It was, doesn't
All in the
matter.
Family? Is that what you're thinking
No,
of?
it was it was on a community, and all the women were those perfectly coiffed, always wore a dress, always had the children perfect.
I don't know.
Oh, that's gonna drive me crazy.
Anything that happened in the 50s.
So let's just talk about the 50s wife. That fellow you talked to was probably talking about that traditional 50s wife. But as you're explaining your current housemate, I'm thinking, he's like the perfect husband without all the messy bits. Okay, let's move on while
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, something may blow up, but so far, so good.
Okay, let's move to that elephant in the room. Fear, stranger danger, all that stuff.
So this is why I want people to read my book or take a class. I also have a 4-session Zoom class that I offer, and the next one's in February, which can be found on my website, which is sharinghousing.com.
Yeah, you're going to
Look
promote the hell out of
for, okay.
that
Look, look for the in the menu bar classes. You can find the Zoom. So, what is true is that nobody should move in who is effectively feels like a stranger, because you have done the work ahead of time to have that person become a known entity. Okay? And I have, in the process that I teach people, I actually made a chart to show the process, because I made it to show people that there are 5 places you can get off the bus, because I think people are sometimes afraid to even start the process. So you start, you get clear on who you are living in your house, or in, if you were to go to somebody else's house. What is it that you must have? What is it you cannot live with? These should be unique. I mean, these are for you. And I always caution people not to create stuff just to make stuff, but make them real and honest, what's true about you, because those are your guardrails. And if that's true about you, somebody who doesn't meet those things, you shouldn't be spending any time talking to at all. There's no point, right? I mean, to use the most obvious example, if you have decided to be sober, do not have a drinker move in. That's sort of the obvious one, but there's lots of little things that can be true. All right. I once talked to somebody who was looking to go into a home share, and she had moved back from India and was living here in southern Vermont, and she'd moved back because she wanted to be closer to the grandchildren who now existed. And she asked me, she said, "I'm talking to this person, da da da. The one problem is she doesn't want to have kids around." I said, "Is it important for you that your grandchildren visit you?" "Yes." "Do not move in with that person." So people have their own, and I always say this is situational. We are very complex people, and so I can't prescribe for you what's the perfect person. You have to figure that out for yourself. So that's step number one, and I think a lot of people skip that step. Step number two is writing a decent announcement that says who you are, what you're looking for. And I have on my website, if you can do a search for what should be in a good announcement or advertisement, something like that. You state your must-haves and your can't live withs and what you're looking for and the financials and all of that kind of stuff, and you put it out there into the universe. In my case, so interesting, I worked on, I renovated my house to make it more comfortable for shared housing. And in that period of time, I was telling my community, I'm looking for a housemate. And although I had a couple of tentative, I had about 4 queries, each one of them wasn't right, and we decided it together, kind of like, oh no, this isn't going to be working. I got to a place where I'm like, okay, I really need a housemate now. And so I put it on Craigslist. Lo and behold, that's how I found my housemate. And he responded within 24 hours. Now, the thing about Craigslist, which a lot of people don't realize, is you are anonymous until you choose to share your connection, your contact info. So if you get a response that's completely inappropriate, you don't have to do anything. It just dies. And I think I did have one inappropriate one. This is different than early on when my partner first died. I was like, I'm going to get a housemate right now. And I put it on Facebook in my neighborhood, and I forgot that I'd be public. And
Course.
so I had people coming to me, have you found your housemate yet? Have you found your housemate yet? But Craigslist is anonymous, and that was interesting. And honestly, I got two query, I think it's two queries. And the housemate who queried is the one who moved in eventually. But the process is to have the announcement, vet people's responses. Some may be inappropriate and you just skip it. And then some you follow up on. In my case, I did a little, we had an email exchange that was just, I checked on my must-haves and can't live withs, and that seemed to be okay. So the next step was a telephone conversation. And I always say telephone conversation. And the reason you want to have a telephone conversation is you want to listen to the person. You want to get to know their voice, how they use language, how they respond to your questions. And you kind of have a beginning conversation. Why are you looking? What are you interested in? Da 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 da. And you're kind of out checking your gut. How do I feel? And sometimes you're like, oh, nope, not. And the telephone makes it very easy to say, oh, this isn't going to be a good fit. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck. So that makes it easy. You haven't met in person. You don't have any physical connection at all. And also you can create an email address specifically. I did that specifically for my search, right? So it's not in even my regular emails. So from the telephone conversation, if there are no red flags, then the next up is to meet. And in my case, my housemate would be moving from South Carolina. And so he said, okay, I'll fly up. Give me a couple of days to figure out when, probably in about 10 days. And I started to make suggestions for hotels he could stay at. And he said, "Oh, no, never mind. Not to worry. I'm a Hilton Platinum or whatever, something like that." And I said, "Oh, okay, whatever." I said, "No, actually, I didn't say that. I said, there's no Hilton around here." And so I started Googling while I was on the phone, and I went, oh, never mind, because Hampton Inns is owned by Hilton, and Hampton Inns is everywhere. So 10 days later or so, he flew up, rented a car, and we met at a lunch place that I know and like. And I remember I was sitting in the car and this guy walked by wearing clothes that would indicate to me very quickly that this was not going to be a good match. And I was like, oh, I hope that's not him. And it wasn't.
Oh,
And
good.
it wasn't. And I honestly can't remember a thing, single thing we said to each other in that lunch, because I was spending so much time with my radar out going, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? No red flags. So I said, well, next thing is for you to see the space, because if he didn't like it, there would be no point in talking some more. So he came back here. I live about 10 minutes outside of town, and I showed him the space, and he loved it, fell in love with it immediately. So we sat down and had a conversation about whether we were compatible enough in how we live at home to be comfortable with each other. And I actually have a little questionnaire that I created that's in my what I call what you need to talk about when interviewing a housemate. And we kind of worked our way through. It's a little survey with multiple choice questions, multiple choice answers. So you could say, like, what did you say to number B, two, A, B, C, or D, which kind of gets you around how clean are you?
Now, are you both doing this?
Yeah, we're both doing it. I made
Okay.
it, gave him a copy, gave me a copy. We spent some time filling it out, and then we used it as a springboard for the conversation about how we would live together, right? At one point, he says, "Oh yeah, I'm very neat. I put everything away." I looked at him and said, "Well, I don't." And he said, "Well, I don't really either." The truth of the matter is, since he does now live here, he's much neater than I am. But he does know, he does forget that certain things have landed someplace and they'll be gone, they'll be have landed there for weeks, So it's interesting. We're pretty compatible. I'm cleaning up my act. I am neater in the kitchen than I used to be for him to make it him comfortable. He cleans as he goes when he cooks. Like I'll do all the dishes because he cooked and he will have already washed the pots. So that was a very comfortable, I mean, it was an exchange. A friend of mine suggested that maybe some other people should vet him. So I arranged to have a little dinner party. So we're talking on Thursday afternoon. I told him it was arranged for, I knew he was leaving Monday. He was here for the weekend. I told him it was arranged for Saturday. I kind of felt him, I saw him blanch because he knew he was being vetted, right? But he came through. We didn't see each other at all on the Friday because I was busy all day, and he just went off and did his stuff on Saturday. He came over and helped me for a little bit in the afternoon. And oh no, I know. On Thursday, I got very bold because we're doing fine, right? And I'm like, okay. And I know he has no plans because he doesn't know anybody. And I said, "Will you take me out to dinner tonight?" He said, "Sure."
Okay, was
So
there
he took
anything
me.
around that that could have been like more date than housemate?
So when we were on the phone, I said, "So I'm doing this thing about sharing housing, da 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 da. I have a couple of principles for living well with housemates. And one of my principles is the incest taboo." And he goes, "Huh?" And I said, "You and me living together, we're like sister and brother." And he goes, "Oh yeah." Just like
Now,
that.
to all the listeners out there, Anna Marie just backed off the microphone like crazy.
Yeah,
Ah,
I mean,
dear.
it was so clear.
Okay. Yeah.
It was so clear. And so that made me feel comfortable. Of course, it was not comfortable raising it naturally, of course. But so when I asked that, I wasn't necessarily saying take me out on a date, but
Yeah,
I
okay.
know you don't have a plan and I don't have a plan, but I'm not going to invite you for dinner here.
Thank goodness for that, as it turned out.
Right? I mean, I'm not setting that up. So we had our dinner, and in the course of it, I was just like, "Oh yeah, we're going to be fine." It flowed, it was easy enough, so on and so forth. So, and he passed the test with the friends that I'd gathered, and
Now, sorry, I'm going to just ask a question here. Would that vetting have been necessary if he was a woman?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it was partly because of
Absolutely.
the
Oh,
gender.
absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I think men are more casual about where they live than women are. And so, I mean, one of my first questions for with him was, why do you want to live in shared housing when we were on the phone? And he said, because I don't want to own anything. And I was like, ooh, that's a pretty good reason, you know? And very different because I had made a point of having nothing in the room so that if a housemate had stuff to move in, that person would have space to move their stuff in. Stuff is an issue. Stuff is
No, for
the,
sure.
and I don't have a better word because it's everything from the teaspoon to the bed, you know, stuff. It's the things you own. I've known a couple of people who have been so happy to just get rid of it all. But that was, he sold a house 4 years ago. Lock, stock, and barrel. He walked away from a house. So,
I want to ask another question here. Like, it's all about compatibility, and I understand that. Is there anything that the people that you talk to who are interested in shared housing that they think it's important, but it actually doesn't matter as much as people think?
Privacy.
Okay.
So people, one of the things people will say is, I need my privacy. I can't live in shared housing because I need my privacy. And my answer to that is your room is always your privacy. And that is true. I mean, in the way that we live here, I'm in an office now with my door closed. If my housemate doesn't want to be interrupted, his door is closed, you know, so he has privacy. So that's my first answer to your question.
Okay. Are there any myths out there that you want to debunk?
Well, one of them I want to debunk is that no is to it's not a myth, it's a word. No adult wants a roommate. Housemate is okay, but what I want is I want people to grow into a relationship I call home mate.
Okay.
And a home mate is somebody who you like and respect, whose ways of living at home are compatible enough that everybody is comfortable. So I did a presentation recently with coalition, sort of a group worrying about homeless people. And one of the people I was talking to said at the end of it, she said, I've had a housemate for 20 years. And I was like, okay, that's a homemate. You know, the thing that's the myth is that they're only bad housemates out there. There are a lot of people who share housing who don't think anything special about it. It's just the way they live. And so the transition is hard. I get that. It feels risky, it's scary, you don't know yourself, you don't know what works. The transition, like anything, is a transition, right? You go to a new job, you've got a transition. You got a new relationship, it's a transition. You buy a new house, it's a transition. Having a housemate is a transition. I think it's a transition to something better if you have done the work of choosing well.
Do you have a story of somebody who's sort of been big breath in, I think I can do this, and I won't say transition, but it's almost like a transformation where they find that right person, their life only gets better.
Besides myself, let's see. Well, I do on my blog, I have a whole bunch of interviews I've done of people who share housing, and it's called Stories of Sharing. It's what I really like for the title is Real People Sharing Housing, but it's too long for a menu bar. And I'm about to come out with an ebook so that people can download a compendium of these stories.
Okay.
So one of the interviews I most recently did, that's right at the top of the blog, is an older couple who have are now on their second housemate. They tend to have law students. He's a retired lawyer. They love the fact that they have this exchange and these young people in their lives. It's just the blog post is called Worthwhile and Changed Our Lives.
Is that, and I know we're just pulling one thing out of the air, but does that give him an opportunity to mentor someone that he has grown to like?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And he says that. I love being able to mentor young lawyers and learn what's going on in the legal prof in the law school professions. And he says, and I now have friends I can call at any time, you know, and he's a elderly person who I gather is not driving. His wife is still driving, but he's home a lot. So this has given a kind of energy to the household that they love.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so if one of our listeners is coming in now, she's starting to lean in, this might be for me. Is there a small experiment they could do before taking the big leap? Or do you think if
Oh.
they're prepared enough, they can take that big leap?
Well, one of the ways people have tried it out is to have, if they're near a school or medical residence, there's a way in which you could have a ten, you know, somebody staying with them who you know is going to leave. So that's a nice way to try it out, because there's a clear ending. So if it's not going to be so good, if it's not feeling so good, you know, okay, they're leaving. So that's one way to do it. Another way is to have people do it, literally do a trial. There's a home share program here in Vermont that, when they match two people, the guest, they call it guest and host, the guest moves in with a suitcase for 2 weeks, not with their stuff. And then so they have this trial period before they make a more permanent arrangement. And they have to keep their housing, et cetera, et cetera. So those are ways of giving it small trials. What I don't recommend, don't go on a trip with a potential housemate. That's a completely different kind of being together and not a good yardstick. Although I do have stories of people who are friends who have gone on trips together, and then they go, oh, you know, we could live together. And then they choose to live together, but it's not a good way to test it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Okay, I think we've talked. I come with notes. And I want to talk about gender differences and age differences. Now, you've touched on both of those. I mean, you're living, like your roommate is, or your housemate, I'm sorry, your
Thank
housemate
you.
is a man. You have that example of the older gentleman. In terms of age, do you really recommend that there is something? I'm going to use the word tangible. He's a retired lawyer. The housemate is a law student. So there's definitely something they can communicate about. Is that important?
No.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah.
I mean, there. So, what's important is liking and respecting each other. Okay. So, people can come from completely different places in the world, but like each other, and then they're open to finding out about the other person and so on. I have seen shared housing arrangements that are intergenerational and intersexual, as it were, or gender. It really depends on the person and what's available and who you are and what you want, really and truly. There are a lot of young people who need places to live. There are also older people who cannot afford to live by themselves in this era that we're living in. I did had a conversation yesterday with a woman who counsels people on financial management, and she was like, I never even thought about suggesting to people who are managing mortgages all by themselves that they could share housing as a way of managing the mortgages. It's like, oh, okay. So people have different reasons for doing it.
Is there any difference between being the homeowner and being the person looking for
Yes,
accommodation?
absolutely. I call one the home seeker and one the householder. The householder has a power position. I think that's a fair statement and just honest, which is part of why I really, really, really want people to have a thorough conversation before they live together about how they would live together, because at that point they're on an equal playing field. It's, one, they each want it to work, maybe, if it's okay enough. So having a conversation at that point is important, because once the home seeker has moved in, the home owner has the power position of saying, well, no, you can't be in the kitchen after 7:30 at night. And what does the house, that's a problem. That could be a problem. It might not be a problem. But so I think that it's really important to have a good conversation ahead of time because of that power dynamic.
What about utilities?
I tell the householders to figure out what the one monthly month rate they want to have, and that put the utilities into that month amount.
Yeah, I guess because I've heard stories about people saying, oh, yeah, they moved in and they had the gas fireplace in their room going like 24/7, whereas for me, it was just an hour in the evening.
So, I mean, that is, it sort of depends on where you are and who you are and what. So, in fact, I was completely intending on asking for one number from my housemate. And at the very last moment, I was like, wait a second. Heat's expensive in southern Vermont, and the house is going to be used very differently. I think I'm going to make se heat separately. So heat, in my case, heat is separate. And I'm very glad I did that, because we are using heat separate differently. He likes the house warmer than I ever kept it. Although I, knowing him now, if heat had been included and he had said that, I would have said, pony up. And
Okay,
he would
yep.
have said, sure. He would have said fine, because money's not tight for him. So, but yeah, so that's my answer on utilities.
Okay. Is there anything we haven't talked about that, like if there's mid-age women out there thinking about this, that we haven't talked about, that they're going to think about this, they're leaning in now?
Yeah, so the thing I want to say is, a bad housemate experience in the past does not mean a bad housemate needs to be your future. Or, as I often say, did you stop dating after one bad boyfriend? Or some
Okay,
people
good
did
point. Yeah,
and
right.
do. But mainly and most importantly, what I want to say is the housemate relationship, which can grow to be a homemate relationship. And when I say homemate, one of the things that can happen is you begin to know each other's stories. You begin to know about each other. You begin to have a collective memory. You have a sense of community and belonging. And that's really important in our day and age. So I want people to have home mates that they can have this unique relationship with. It's not like a lover, a family member, a best friend, even a friend. It can be like a friend, but it is specifically about agreeing to live under a roof together. And it can be however you design it.
Sounds perfect. Okay, you've touched on your interview guide. Tell us a bit more about it. So, I mean, how long is it? Is it like, does it take
Oh,
hours
it's
to go through?
tiny.
Or... Oh, okay.
It's like 20 pages. It's 25 pages, but it's meant, so I put together a kit. I sell a kit. Unfortunately, two pieces of the kit I can't sell into Canada because customs is way too expensive.
Uh-oh,
Right.
okay.
That's a problem, and I'm trying to figure that one out. But the book, so I have the book, I have the interview guide, I have lots of free worksheets on my website, and the reason for that is that the book, the format is such that every chapter ends with a worksheet, and it's too small to actually work on. So I have full-size worksheets on the website you can download and use. They're meant to go with the book. I suspect people sometimes use them even without the book. I have two online video classes. One's called Five Key Benefits of Shared Housing, and that is free. And then I have a class called Sharing Housing 101, which is basically teaching the process. The content is all of 35 minutes in length, and I think there are 10 lessons. So it's not. It's rich. People tell me there's a lot there. So,
Okay.
but it's online, so you can go back and watch it a second time. Or you can come take a Zoom class with me. The next one's in February. I do a monthly Q&A, and the way to find out, so far, the way to find out about when and how is to sign up for our newsletter, which you can do on the front page, homepage of sharinghousing.com. And I think of the newsletter as being a piece of the work of advocacy and kind of helping people get used to this idea of living in shared housing.
Oh,
It's kind of a
perfect.
drip campaign that way. It's the
Yeah.
way I think of it. So that's a lot. And I'm always going to talk, do presentations. I
Okay.
can do them on Zoom. Zoom makes life so much
Yeah, it
easier.
does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I'm happy to do presentations and talk to groups of people and all of that kind of stuff.
Your book, can you ship that internationally?
It can be found on Amazon.
Oh, okay, because I'm on your website and I know there it just seems as though you buy it from there. Okay, good to know.
You can also buy it on Amazon. The international shipping, I tried it, and for a while, I had a board member who lived in Canada, and she would come down here and collect supplies and take them
Okay.
back, and then we could ship within Canada. But she died.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, because I mean, I do look at my listenership and we really are international, which is fabulous. So good to know that it's, I mean, it's funny. I'm the last person to give Amazon money, but I do
Right.
understand it has a
Exactly.
purpose. It has
I'm
a
in that
purpose.
place too, but
Yeah.
this is it. They do make this possible. And so I'm
Okay.
happy to have people buy the book
Okay.
from their
Whichever.
site.
Yeah. Okay. Now, sorry, I'm watching the clock, but I want to know how this nonprofit works. Like, what is that?
Yes, what is that? It is the work of advocacy and education to encourage shared housing. I say our vision is that people will understand the importance of shared housing, and organizations will support it, right? And I feel as if someday, maybe, we can change the paradigm. So, and we look at somebody who's living alone, and it's like, why do you live alone? We don't do that now. We
No, for sure.
accept it. But I think that there's a lot of loneliness in this country, in our societies. And part of the loneliness is living alone. And a way to fix it is to live with others and cope with the work.
The other reality is, I don't know what it's like in the States, but in Canada, all of our pensions would not keep a person who is renting alive. Like when all the the rent, it might cover the rent, but most of us have this pesky habit called eating. And so I mean it obviously then shared housing becomes it might start as necessary, but it sounds like it can end up as quite joyous.
I think it can be very much fun. And, I love the idea of three, four, five people living together. It just is, it, you just get that general, it's fun. It can be fun.
Well, I know that's what my female friends and I have discussed, but there's a few of those husbands still hanging around.
All those pesky husbands.
Yeah. So, as long as these statistics hold out and this is sounding dreadful, but they
No,
pass on before
I
the
know
women.
exactly what you
Yeah,
mean. It
yeah.
is quite shocking how many more women there are widowed than men widowered. It's really quite amazing. So, but it is true. And so I hope that listeners will take me up on this idea
Yeah, no,
and
it's
at least give it a thought or talk to other people about it. And don't let people scare you off.
Well, I was so excited when you messaged me on Podmatch. It was like, oh, perfect.
Good,
This is great.
good.
Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure, I think.
What's the funniest misunderstanding you've ever had with a housemate?
Ooh, funniest.
Okay, do you want another one? If housemates came with warning labels, what would yours say?
If housemates came with warning labels.
This is great.
Yeah, I'm sort of like they have a warning for me, or I have a warning for them.
No, you got a warning for them. Come on.
My warning for them might be likes to help too much.
Okay. Here you go. That's all right. That works.
I have this thing in my head, that I learned, and I learned it because of my sister. Which is somebody's complaining to you about something, and my tendency is to jump in and figure out how to help them. But the line is, you should ask, do you want to be heard, hugged, or helped?
Ooh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I have to sort of restrain myself and go, I think they just want to be heard. Stop it. Don't recommend a book or a thing they should do.
I think quite honestly, mine might be similar. I'm a recovering helper. I can find the answer to that. Just walk away. Just walk
Read
away.
this book.
Yeah, right. Okay, so and your website is, we've touched on the sharinghousing.com, and everything can be found via that website. Now, I'm
Exactly.
not, whoa, I just flicked through there really fast. I'm not finding any social media. Is that true?
No, that's not true. Oh, you mean you're not finding it on our website? Well,
Correct.
that's an interesting piece of feedback. We're on Facebook at Sharing Housing.
Okay.
We're on Instagram as Shared Housing Community, and we're on LinkedIn as Sharing Housing.
Okay.
And I also, it's not very active, and I keep telling myself I should make it more active. I have a Facebook group called Hello Homemate, which is
Ooh.
designed to help people find each other and talk about shared housing.
All righty. Okay. I edit this before it goes live, so I will make note of all of that and make sure that it's on your website. So basically, where my outro is now is your website link is in the show notes. All of those other links will be on your page at our website.
Perfect.
Listeners, I told Anna Marie right at the beginning she was preaching to the choir. Several of my friends and I have talked about it, and most of the women I know think it's a great idea, sharing housing. What do you think about it as a way to live your next chapter? Talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Was there a question I didn't ask Anne Marie? I put Anna Marie. Anne Marie, I'm sorry. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. We've been talking about the fact that loneliness is an epidemic in much of the Western world. Many people present well, but go home to an empty house and an empty heart. When you share this episode, you may be shining the light a friend needs and didn't know it. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. A reminder to check out the resource tab at boomwithabang.com. There's quite a bit there, and this year it's expanding. Anne Marie Pluhar, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your expertise about shared housing. I really appreciate it, and I'm really excited about giving this to the
I'm
world.
delighted and I hope people take me up on it and come to the website, join the newsletter. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to
There
you.
you go. We're going to create a worldwide movement. How does that sound?
That's good.
Okay. Okay, have a great rest of week.
All right, take care.